Okay, it's great to be back with you for another GoldSeek.com Radio Gold Nugget segment. Today's special guest, Fabian Calvo. Fabian Calvo manages millions of dollars of distressed mortgages, and he can be found at thenotehouse.us. Welcome, Fabian Calvo.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
It's great to have you back. And I wanted to start off today. We were talking before the show about what you're terming the real estate consolidation. Give us an idea. Is this the calm before the storm, or are we going to have another leg higher and then comes the big drop?
Yeah, well, I certainly think another leg higher. This has basically been a stated investment policy, if you will, by the Blackstones and America Home for Rents and the Colony Capitals, which are these gigantic hedge funds that are getting billions and billions of dollars in 0.005% loans to basically gobble up housing, distressed housing across the country, not just distressed. What you're seeing is a lot of the much smaller private equity funds or smaller hedge funds that have built up decent-sized real estate portfolios. Those are now being gobbled up by these big, big players. And so what they've called it is the consolidation phase. And what, you know, my sources tell me, what, you know, just in my dealings with, you know, being on the front lines of this market, Chris, is that basically this is all being built up in order for this last big leg up in basically making loans out to unsuspecting borrowers, most of them being subprime, to get them into these homes with new debt that will ultimately be backed by government-sponsored agencies or, you know, whether it's Fannie Mae, the U.S. government, whoever it is, all of them have a key role to play in this dumping of real estate that's been acquired since 2009, 2010.
Well, you know, the numbers really back up this idea. And, you know, I was talking to Peter Schiff this week. He'll be on the show with you. The only really solid buying going on right now in the U.S. is coming from these hedge funds and other institutions that are packaging up huge numbers of distressed and foreclosed homes. John and Jane Q. Public, they just can't get the mortgages. They're having trouble. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, well, you're absolutely right. They're having trouble. This is why you have everywhere from, you know, the new Fannie director, Mel Watts, who was basically caucusing with the socialist Democrats in Congress prior to being appointed to run run Fannie by Obama. From him all the way to Wells Fargo, all these different big institutions talking about the need for subprime to tap into this huge market of people who want to buy a home. They just don't have the down payment nor the credit score to buy the home. You know, this next bubble is going to look different than the one in 08, where you basically can walk into any bank. If you had a pulse, you'd get a loan. Those loans are mostly going to come by these big Wall Street mega institutions, mega hedge funds, who really are, in essence, almost proxies or backed by the Goldman Sachs, the J.P. Morgans of the world. And they're going to do the loans in a couple different ways. We spoke about this last time I was on, through something called a land contract. But also, they will likely, you know, you could very well see Blackstone come out with their own, you know, lending wing, as we've seen with Colony Capital. They now have basically or Skyline Capital. They're starting to basically say, all right, well, let's just set up a mortgage division, and we'll just do the loans to these people, and then we'll bundle them up, and we'll sell them to whoever it is. And so that's how they're going to basically get around, you know, almost try to kind of go behind enemy lines, if you will, Chris, and hide that they're fueling this bubble. Because for sure, the media will be playing this up as this is a bona fide housing recovery when it's nothing but a huge manipulated Ponzi scheme.
I'm assuming then that when this pumping continues, that it's going to put some more downward pressure on other asset classes, or will this just lift everything up? Will the tide lift all the boats along with it?
Well, certainly. I mean, we've seen, you know, last month, I believe it was revealed, something that I think listeners of this show definitely know, that the central banks around the world have pumped in trillions into the global equities market. Well, basically the same thing is happening with real estate. It's happening, quite frankly, with a multi-bubble, with really these multiple bubbles we've seen, from the dollar bubble, the bond bubble. And so I think that you're going to see all of these, particularly the stock market and real estate bubble, continue to go up. I mean, since March of 2012, I believe it was, 2012, the housing is up over 20%. And I think we're going to continue to see that at least for the next 12, possibly 24 months, because I keep saying that the next leg down isn't just going to be isolated to housing or stocks. It's going to be the bursting of the multi-bubble U.S. economy, and it's likely going to center around the biggest bubble, which is the dollar bubble.
Now, that's what I wanted to get to, the greenback, the U.S. dollar. So if we're talking about everything coming down, and then you're going to see this dollar that's been bouncing around a bottom here for, it's got to be 3 or 4 years, making no headway. Every time it looks like it's going to break out and recover, it falls right back down. So if we're talking about a falling dollar, that's always good news for the precious metals. Tell us more.
Well, I think that, you know, for sure you see, you know, I think it was Andrew McGuire just the other day was interviewed with that. Andrew McGuire being the gentleman who exposed J.P. Morgan's manipulation of the silver market.
And he and his, I think, fiance were run off the road just after they testified. It was quite a big deal.
Right. So they tried to kill him. And, you know, this goes back to these so-called banker suicides, where I think that they're scared to death of any real whistleblower, real economic Edward Snowden that revealed the frauds that are taking place. And so, you know, he was talking about how he's seen the record levels. I mean, hundreds of tons, or, you know, dozens, I believe the number was hundreds of tons of gold being purchased by Eastern economies, likely much of that coming from China. And I think those countries recognize that if they continue with the U.S. dollar, global U.S. dollar system that's been set up, it's a losing proposition for their country and for the people in their country, and could potentially lead to revolution in their country with inflation, you know, running 200% plus in China over the last 10 years. So, you know, a lot of these emerging economies that are starting to have more influence coming to the realization that if we join together, we could be a real alternative to the U.S. dollar. And we see this with, you know, the BRIC nations starting this new version of their IMF, of the World Bank. But it's not just these emerging economies, Chris. I think you have a lot of European economies, especially Germany, are beginning to realize, and not only realize, they're being intimidated and bullied by the U.S. to keep up with this dollar policy. I mean, in the last month, we've seen the U.S. government go after BNP, the French bank, for wanting to send some warships to Russia. We've seen them ruffle feathers wanting to go after Deutsche Bank, claiming that they're doing shady dealings. I mean, the shady dealings are epic on Wall Street, but of course, they're not going after those banks. They're going after European banks. I would suspect European banks that are getting too cozy to the notion of bilateral trade agreements with the Chinese, or just alternatives to the U.S. dollar. And I think that those countries, if those countries ultimately take the switch and say, look, we think the dollar as a world reserve currency is outdated, we think it should be more opened up, we should have we should be able to do bilateral trade with whoever we want. You know, those are the type of real economic shocks that I think will send real shockwaves with the U.S. dollar globally.
Okay, so again, this sounds like good news then for the precious metals. Are you looking for opportunities to accumulate any of the mining shares or bullion, physical bullion?
Gold. I buy gold and silver monthly. I have for years now. And I'm just a big believer that when what I call the global economic reset takes place, things will go back to gold and silver. Now, that could look like a variety of different ways. It could mean you actually use gold and silver to conduct trade, but I think the dollar will still be in existence. It's just, what's it going to be worth? You know, at least for me, gold and silver isn't so much of an investment as it is an insurance policy against a currency that I know not only is A, being completely devalued, Chris, but just the track record of fiat currencies in general, we know is not a good one.
That's quite an understatement there. And, you know, I mean, for the most part, we've just watched fractional banking simply decimate the purchasing power of almost every currency. We look at the U.S. dollar over this 100-year track record from the Federal Reserve, the creature from Jekyll Island. We've lost, as I'm sure you know, somewhere around 96% to 97% of the value. But, you know, it happened so gradually, apparently we're not supposed to notice. Unfortunately, you're talking about a scenario, and an interesting one, that many people have brought up, where we could see a sudden reset. Take a look at South America. I mean, we just recently seen Argentina once again having trouble with its currency. Gold actually skyrocketing 70 to 80% in just a brief period of time there for anybody who was lucky enough to divest their local currency into the precious metals. Any other topics on the itinerary today?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think a big thing to be looking at is these new sanctions being imposed by the West on the Russians, in essence creating currency and trade wars with the Russians. Interestingly enough, you mentioned the 100 years of the Fed. Well, yesterday was the 100-year anniversary of the beginning of World War One, and, you know, we know one of the things that led to that was just complete incompetence and, you know, lack of any real leadership. And also, coupled with that was all of these different treaties to defend each country if one of them was attacked or went to war. Well, we have that same exact system set up today. I mean, it's almost a mirror image of what it was 100 years ago. And, you know, the more I see the real fault lines in the Western economy, and really just, I can't, you know, I the more that I really think is that these people, and they understand that if they pull the trigger on the reset now and the economy enters the depression, that's bad enough. However, if they can simultaneously start a greater regional war, get people's minds off of it, or to use as the reason behind why the economy has suddenly collapsed, well, that they can sell that likely to an unsuspecting public a little bit better.
You are absolutely right. According to the sources I've been following for decades, these folks are agent provocateurs, are by their very job title doing just that. I mean, they are there to disrupt the economies. I mean we've had some great folks on the show. We had the economic hitman himself, you know, Mr. Perkins, right here on the show outlining just what he did. Everyone's ambivalent about this Ukraine-Russia drama. To them, I think they just see it as a sideshow. Oh, it's way over there. They're missing, I think, some big pieces to this puzzle. Firstly, the UK Telegraph has made it clear in no uncertain terms that we are looking at another Cold War here. And that's why I think you have absolutely honed in on an important point. You're looking at a region that is the breadbasket for much of the world. We used to be. Now it's Ukraine. They also have an incredible natural gas resources, and then they have all the pipelines running through there, not to mention all of the electricity that flows from Moscow right through Ukraine. This is a huge hotbed, and I like your parallel. I think it's apt with World War One, Archduke Ferdinand. Now Putin, as I'm sure you read, just got a food taster because of the poisonings going on there. His plane, there was an attack on his plane. This is a powder keg. Tell us more.
Well, I mean, definitely. With respect to Putin, I mean, I've heard from a few of my sources, and this isn't anything that they've verified. This is just people's opinions, but these are people who, you know, are in the inner workings, particularly of finance, telling me that they wouldn't be surprised, and I got to say, I disagree with this, but that they wouldn't be surprised to see the oligarchs try to basically kill Putin. And I think the fact that you mentioned the food taster, the fact that it was discussed or revealed that the MH17 flight that was shot down was potentially following the same flight path as Putin's plane. You know, that could be a possibility. If people believe the notion that, you know, the oligarchs only care about money, they'll take out Putin, they'll get cozy back up to the West so they could continue to come to America and basically buy their $80 million New York penthouses. Well, I personally disagree with that for many reasons. And one is that Putin spent the last 10 years stacking the deck with real loyalists, not just within government, but within basically major industries in Russia. So I don't think they're going to try to take him out. I think that if he is killed for whatever reason, that's going to be some kind of job that happens from, you know, the CIA, MI6, the Mossad, something like that. People need to understand that in the Ukraine, especially where the so-called separatists are fighting the Ukrainian government, that's a major area of shale gas. And Putin's not going to allow the Ukrainian government to go in, take that over, and then be the primary exporter of natural gas to Europe. He's just not going to let that happen. And I think that with these sanctions that have been levied against Russia, it's only going to make the Russian bear, who is cornered now, acting more aggressively. So here's a couple things that I think we could potentially see in the next coming months. I would not be surprised if Putin comes out and openly invades the eastern Ukrainian region. He'll do it under the premise of something like a peace type of plan or a peace mission. He just wants to really restore peace and help the separatists that are being slaughtered. Because the truth is, nobody, Chris, will try to stop him. Nobody will. So I think we can easily see that. I also think we could easily see Putin go to the Iranians and say, look, this deal that you're trying to strike with them completely sucks. I will help you get the nuclear weapons that you want, and maybe even do some kind of alliance that involves protecting them if they're attacked or invaded by the Israelis or anybody else. And, you know, this is what's important to understand is that we live in a world today that isn't going to continue to function the way the world worked for your parents or grandparents. It's out-of-the-box thinking that typically comes to manifest itself. And so these are things that I look around. I talk to a lot of intelligent people, as you do as well. And, you know, there are things that most of the time things happen in a way we never expected. And I think that those two scenarios are very probable between now and the end of the year.
No, exactly. I mean, we're seeing the markets support this idea. I mean, look at platinum and palladium. Russia, number one producer of one and second largest producer of the other. Of course, the prices are substantially higher than the other precious metals out there. And this is because the market is putting a premium on the fact that Russia is going to continue curtailing these essential exports, and some of them, you know, military as well as industrial. So, I mean, we're seeing people put money behind the idea. And, you know, we can discuss geopolitical concepts all day long, but as you say, it's that forward thinking that's going to help our listeners.
Yeah, you know, I'll just make one more quick point, Chris, is that this isn't also, you know, a lot of people are calling this Cold War 2.0. This isn't the Cold War, the past Cold War we had with the Russians. In America, where there was really this Pax Americana, where Europe, really the rest of the world, just followed America, and if they didn't follow America, they knew I better not mess with them because they're going to take me out or whatever's going to happen. The world has really changed, and I think, you know, it's almost like that story of the emperor has no clothing, and that's what's happened with America, and it's not because of the American people. It's because of the shysters that have come in to take over the American Republic, and now they're running it, and their masters are the big Wall Street banks. And so it's a completely separate agenda, a completely separate country than it was in the first Cold War. And so the rest of the world realizes that, Chris, and they realize, look how many times just in the last couple of years, America's literally been on the wrong side, whether it was supporting the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt or it was taking out, you know, Gaddafi in Libya, you know, giving Libya over to Al-Qaeda. I think the rest of the world is catching on to this, and I think they're making contingency plans that are in stark contrast with how I think the bureaucrats in Washington think that think the world will work.
I mean, we're talking about the special interests, the banks, the bankers. They have an incredible lobby on Capitol Hill. And these people on the inside say, you are either with the lobbyists or your idea, your program is dead. It's shut. You don't have a chance. You won't get reelected. You'll suddenly see your funds just disappear.
Oh, well, you know, I think that it's definitely interesting times that we're living in, and I would urge people to do their best to become self-reliant and recognize that, I'm not saying this will happen next week, but it could, and it could happen next week, next year, 5 years from now. But I think the world's on the precipice of fundamental change, and I think those of us that realize that, that are out-of-the-box thinkers, people like the listeners of Gold Seek Radio, Chris, I think we'll be the ones that ultimately will be able to, you know, weather the storm and really be instrumental in the reset of what the future America looks like.
I hope you're right, but if we don't wake up enough folks, you know, you can have that life raft, but if there's, 100, 200, 300 million people grasping around in the waters, they might take you down with them. So let's keep getting the word out here, and Fabian, tell folks how they can find out more about what you're doing.
Yeah, they can always go for my real estate business. They can always go to thenodehouse.us or for my commentary on entrepreneurship, economics, and geopolitics. You can check out FabianForLiberty.com, FabianForLiberty.com.
Fabian Calvo, keep up the great work.
Hey, Chris, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.